Once a Catholic, always a Catholic. Catholic Parents Online is next. Hello and welcome to Catholic Parents Online, a program that explores the issues Catholic parents face while raising their children. I'm your host, Colleen Perfect. Today we are discussing the sacrament of baptism. Baptism brings us into the church. It purifies, justifies, and sanctifies us with the Holy Spirit. To help explain this, we have with us Father Robert Altier from the St. Paul and Minneapolis Archdiocese. Welcome back, Father.
Thank you, Colleen. It's good to be back.
Father, could you tell us what is the sacrament of baptism?
Ultimately, it's easiest described as a sacrament of regeneration or rebirth. We have the natural birth from our mothers, but then we are reborn as children of God in baptism. And so it is a sacrament through which by baptism in water, while speaking the words of the formula for baptism, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the individual who's baptized then literally actually becomes a member of Jesus Christ and a child of God. And in so doing, what happens then is that the person receives sanctifying grace so that original sin is removed from their soul. If it's an adult that is baptized, all the sins that they have committed in their entire life are removed from their soul. And at the moment that sin is removed, God infuses sanctifying grace into our souls. Sanctifying grace is the life of God, and so we actually share God's life. In sharing God's life, we share His nature, so we become children of God. We also become then heirs of heaven, because God has only one Son. And so if we are children of God, we have to become members of His one Son, and that is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the heir to all that the Father has. And as members of Jesus, then, we become heirs as well. And the inheritance is heaven. And so we share in God's life. We share His nature. We're members of Jesus Christ. Jesus is a priest, a prophet, and a king. Through baptism, we share in those threefold offices of Jesus, a priest, prophet, and king. So every person who's baptized shares in that. They share in the divine life. They share in the divine nature. There are all these different things that happen in baptism. It's what incorporates us into the church. The church is Jesus Christ. And in baptism, we become members of Jesus. We become members of His church. So much that can be said about it, but in a nutshell, mm-hmm. that's what it's all about.
That's good. Father, then baptism is necessary for salvation.
Absolutely. Jesus made that very clear. It's the very last thing that He told His disciples before He went up to heaven, to teach all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And He told us that unless you are born again by water and the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's an absolute necessity under normal conditions. If a person doesn't know or through no fault of their own, wants to be baptized but dies before they get there or something along those lines, certainly God is not constrained by these requirements, but on the human level we are. And so it is a necessity for every person who has not been baptized. If they know that they need to be baptized, It is an obligation for them to do that. And I should also point out, it is an obligation under the pain of sin for parents to make sure that they have their babies baptized within a reasonable period of time after the birth of the child, which means within a few months at the most. Otherwise, it is a serious sin. We live in a society where people say, well, we'll let the kids choose for themselves. Mm-hmm. That's not a good thing. We don't let the kids choose for themselves if they want to go to school. We don't let them choose for themselves if they want to go to a doctor. We don't let them choose all kinds of things. And the most important thing is their soul and preparing them for heaven. We want what's best for children. And what's the very best is that they would have God's grace from the very beginning of their lives, and that they would be able to live as children of God right from the start rather than waiting much later.
Could you talk a little bit about how the sacrament is administered and who does give the sacrament?
Normally, it would be either a priest or a deacon who would be the minister of the sacrament. But actually, in cases of emergency, anyone, literally anyone, even if it's somebody who is a pagan, If it's a somebody who's a heretic, somebody who's been excommunicated from the church, anyone can baptize in case of emergency.
Wow.
Now, by emergency, we mean danger of death.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a situation now, as I mentioned, with a lot of people not baptizing their babies, and grandparents get pretty upset about this, and so they take the babies and baptize them themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do that. The baby's baptized, but it's actually a mortal sin on the mm-hmm. part of the grandparents doing that, because you can't do that unless there's danger of death. And that means it can't be a little cough that the baby
mm-hmm.
has. But what needs to happen is that if there is danger of death, anyone can baptize. They must use water, and it has to be something recognizable as water, not something that has water as its main ingredient, as in coffee or pop or something like that, but it has to be water. And while pouring the water over the head of the person, so the water runs across the skin is what's necessary, they would say the words of the person's name, and I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Everybody should know that formula. It's especially important for nurses and mm-hmm. doctors who might work in an OB unit that they need to know that in case a baby's dying. But every Christian person should know that in case somebody is dying, that they would be able to administer that sacrament for people.
Mm. And then when you baptize, Father, is done, how is it that the priest would baptize?
Normally, of course, that would be at church. We would do it exactly the same way that, you know, we take the baby and pouring the water over the child's head, we would say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
And use sacred oils.
Well, there are also, the whole rite would have two different anointings, one with holy oil and one with sacred chrism, and there are other prayers and so on, but those are not of the essence of the sacrament.
Yeah.
What's necessary is a non-baptized person, and then water, and the words of the formula, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
You cannot baptize somebody who's already been baptized. I need to point that out. Some people who were baptized as Catholics and wander from the church, go to some other church and get rebaptized, or some people who convert to Catholicism wonder if they're going to be rebaptized. St. Paul says there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody is baptized with a Christian baptism, there is no rebaptism. I should point out, however, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are not Christians. So their baptisms are invalid baptisms. Those people would be baptized. They're not rebaptized because their first one was never accepted. But if a person has been baptized already in any legitimate Christian baptism, they would not be rebaptized.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of when Jehovah's Witnesses, if that comes to the door,
mm-hmm.
and they would say, have you been born again? Well, I just say, well, yes, in baptism.
Exactly.
And it's just as simple as, I guess, you know, that kind of stumps them because mm-hmm. they really don't think that would be being born again, but
right.
It
they
certainly
wouldn't,
is.
The Jehovah's Witnesses wouldn't accept that. The fundamentalists, on the other hand, would.
Mm-hmm.
But see, they don't believe that being baptized as an infant is acceptable.
Oh.
And so that's why they would rebaptize anybody who has been baptized as an infant.
Okay.
And so we would not.
Okay. We just have about a half a minute left. Can you say anything about godparents and their role in baptism?
Well, the godparents in the ancient world were thought to, if something happened to the parents, the godparents took over the religious upbringing of the child. Oftentimes now, of course, that's not a possibility or reasonable, but godparents must be at least 16, confirmed and practicing Catholics, and at the very least, they must pray for the person that they sponsor into the church. The godparents are the official sponsors of that individual into the church. They need to pray for them every day for their spiritual growth and well-being so that they can become saints. The idea of baptism is to make a saint.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
Is baptism just as meaningful for the first child as it is for the ninth? Please stay with us. Welcome back. The baptismal grace is a free and undeserving gift from God. He gives us His help to live according to His will. With us today is a family that has experienced this sacrament many times. Michael and Angie Minwagon and their 9 beautiful children. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Thank you.
Well, you have a beautiful family. Could you introduce each one to us and tell us their name and maybe their age?
Sure. In the back row here, we have Joseph, who's 13. We have Michaela, my oldest daughter, who's
15.
Thank you, Christopher. We have Peter on the end. Right here we have Peter's 9. We have Christopher.
7.
Thank you, Christopher. And we have Gina on the other far end here of the bench,
11.
Who is 11. We have Catherine, who is up front now, who's 2. We have Maximilian, who's 5. And we have Therese here, who's
3.
And my little helper here, Francis, who is 7 months old.
Oh, congratulations. You have a beautiful family. Well, you've been through the sacrament of baptism many times, and can you talk a little bit about how important that sacrament is to you and what it means to have your children baptized?
Very important. We naturally try to get done at the earliest possible time.
When do you usually have them baptized?
I generally, if I have it during the week, I would try to contact the parish and have the child baptized the following Sunday. Our parish usually allows that to be done any Sunday at 2 o'clock, you know, so as long as you let them know ahead of time, that works.
I might want to just, we talked about this before, a lot of parishes require a child to, or the parents to have baptism classes, but you had gone through the, you didn't have to go through it each time, you went through
no.
the fundamentals class.
Right, I guess I would say at our parish we have many ways to become, you know, educated in the faith, but one thing that Mike and I did was, years back, we went to the fundamentals of Catholicism, taught by Father Altier,
mm-hmm.
and so more recently, no, we don't do that with each child.
Right, because most parishes have some type of class. It just was going to, mm-hmm. because I didn't want to confuse people.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
Other than that, as I was saying when I talked to you earlier, the way I kind of look at it is the children are God's first and mine only second. And God gave the children to me, and I give them back to God. And then when they hit the age of reason, I get them quickly into confession, and I try to follow up with that on a weekly basis to keep them renewed, if you would, in baptism.
So you all go to confession?
Keep the soul fresh, keep the soul clean, and let God lead them, because he would probably do a better job than I. So
it's weekly confession for the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful way.
Usually take turns in the car. It's quieter for everybody, and
yeah.
they probably do a better, make a better confession when it's quiet inside anyway.
So, Mike, did you have anything to offer about that? Or
You've
both been Catholic all your lives, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you come from a very large family, too.
I come from a family of 12. Mike comes from a family of 4.
So go ahead. I interrupted.
What
I'm
would
sorry.
You say? So have you always been from a Catholic family, honey?
Well, yes. We're brought up in a Catholic family, and where probably in the beginning, my faith probably wasn't very deep, and now it's been over the years of marriage, it's been strengthened and deepened, and has come a long ways.
So baptism is just, I suppose, with each one child baptized, it becomes deeper and deeper, and the sacrament becomes more meaningful.
Certainly.
To you. How about saints' names? I know when a child is baptized, a child has a saint's name. Did you pick specific saints' names for each one of your child?
Yes, we've always made sure we pick a saint's name. In the beginning, we picked somewhat by the saint, or by the name, if you would, mm-hmm. but always made sure it was a saint's name. And now we pick more by the saint than by the name. And when we're pregnant, we generally, you know, read the stories of the saints because mm-hmm. it's just a little more just more fun that way.
Uh-huh. And you were talking about godparenting, too, or the godparents. I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think, well, they have to choose different godparents for all their children.
Mm-hmm.
But
in our case, our first child has, which is Michaela, she has different godparents than the others, and the others all share the same two godparents, which happened to be my sister and her husband. We figure if they were a good choice, you know, with that second one, they're still a good choice now. And
so people know they don't have to keep just finding two different ones for
it. It's not a popularity contest, I don't want it to become.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Well, Michaela, did you have something to offer us about how you think your baptism was very special or thoughts about that?
Well, I always thought that Jesus came to earth and he gave us the church, and the church left us the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
And without the sacrament of baptism, you cannot receive the other sacraments. And so without baptism, I couldn't go to confession or Holy Communion each week or have been confirmed, which is special.
Good for you. Were you just confirmed?
I was confirmed in 2000.
Okay. And Joseph, do you have something to say about your baptism or the sacrament of baptism?
Yes, I am. I'm very glad that my parents baptized me because it makes you heirs of heaven, and I want to join God in the end.
Good for you. You want to be a child of God. Yes, and you are. You all are. Well, do you have any other thoughts to share? We talked about a lot the other evening. It was a good conversation. Well, I'm just inspired by your whole large family. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
And the fact that you homeschool and get to confession weekly, that's something.
Well, they're God's gift to me. And like I said, my gift back to him. And it's interesting to see. He gave me the buds, and they're blossoming in front of me. And it's interesting to see what flower they will become. What the bouquet will look like in the end.
Well, God bless you all. And thank you for coming tonight. I know it's been kind of a long evening to wait, and now it's going to be all over.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
A journey to find faith that leads to the Catholic Church. A story of adult baptism when we return. Baptism is necessary for salvation. The baptized are purified from all sin and born into new life in Christ. Joining us is Dr. Dan Riedenberg and his sponsor, Lori Boland. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Well, you're about to partake of a wonderful step in your life, Dan.
Yeah.
First of all, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? And first
sure.
You and then Lori.
Sure. I'm a psychologist and the director of a large social service agency in Minneapolis. Grew up in a Jewish family that didn't practice all that much, but said that they believed in it. They went to the synagogue on just the high holidays, which wasn't very often. Grew up, went to school, and started this faith journey.
Mm. And Lori, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm from the Twin Cities, grew up in St. Paul, from a fairly large family. I have six kids in my family. Now I'm married and have four children of my own. And I work over at the university. Dan and I met each other through work.
Okay. Okay, great. And you've been a lifelong Catholic.
I have.
Okay. Well, Dan, could you fill us in a little bit on how... what happened and how Lori inspired you in this decision to become a Catholic?
Sure. I spent my whole life thinking that there was a God out there, but I didn't really know what to call it or what to name it or where God was or what God could do. So I was always searching. And a few years ago, started thinking more and more about it and still searching for something I didn't know what it was. So I started going to churches, just any churches, and then I started reading the Bible 2 years ago. Read the whole Bible in the year 2000 from cover to cover.
Wow.
And I started reading some other books, some books that Lori had given to me. I started talking to some priests, and really through that kept looking for what it was that I was trying to find, and it slowly started to come into focus for me, so to speak, and really become what I know to be the truth now.
Wonderful. So you checked out a lot of different Christian churches, went
yes.
to the services, that type of thing?
Yes, I did. And I talked to people. I didn't talk to a lot of people, but I did talk with some people that I trusted. And not just Christian churches, other faiths, people that didn't believe in God at all. Mm-hmm. So I talked with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And really what I did was ask questions. And that's a lot of what I did with Lori as mm-hmm. my sponsor, was continually ask questions to try and, again, I was searching and looking for an answer that I didn't know exactly what it was. And I think the other thing that was really neat that happened was, is God kind of has a way of tapping you on your shoulder when you get a little too far off or you're just not moving forward, you're kind of stuck. Mm-hmm. And so those things helped along the way.
Good. Well, talk a little bit about how Laurie inspired you. I know she was a big support and a big inspiration.
Yeah. She was a huge support. She was always there to answer questions. She was there when I was frustrated with the Catholic faith in terms of understanding all of the rules and all the practices. Every time the season would change in the Catholic Church, I would be calling saying, what does this color mean and why is this hanging from the ceiling? So it was a lot of support and a lot of answering questions. And there was a lot of direction that she gave me as well. Whether it was a part in the Bible that I was stuck with, or a Mass that I really didn't understand, or a Mass that I went to that I really didn't feel very comfortable with. Mm. A lot of what I was looking for, or what I came to know, was the structure and the routine mm-hmm. Of the Mass, the formalness of the Mass was really important to me. And if I went to a Mass that was missing something, I would immediately call and say, wait, what happened here?
That's so good that you recognized that.
Yeah, for me coming into the faith, it was important to learn about mm-hmm. what those traditions were. And when something wasn't happening, I didn't understand how it got to mm-hmm. be that one church could do it one way and another not.
Yeah, because that's what's so beautiful about the Mass. You can be anywhere in the world, and it's the same Mass.
Yeah. Yeah, and those are the kinds of things that Laurie would tell me that would help me, whether it was being stuck in a Bible passage or mm-hmm. a Mass or really just any question that I would have about the faith.
Laurie, you sure know your faith. And I bet this helped you grow, too.
It did. I had, I guess, that kind of standard Catholic upbringing. I went through first grade through high school, all mm-hmm. Catholic education. I did my 4 years of undergrad in a Catholic university. And it's interesting how much you take for granted in terms mm-hmm. of your knowledge until somebody asks you. And it's not the standard challenge you on what you know or don't know. It's a totally different tone of explain this to me. And suddenly I found myself more intimidated that, oh, am I telling them the right thing? The last thing I ever wanted to do was pass misinformation. Mm-hmm. And I know that every explanation I gave was couched with, but you really need to ask a priest. You need to talk to a priest about that. So
you did. You probably...
I did. Father Otero was one of the priests I went and met with. Father Pichet was another one. I went to a couple missions that were really very inspiring and very moving and helped me in the formulation of really understanding that there really is just one God and he was here and he did say these things and all we have to really do is believe. And that's probably one of the most exciting things for me. And I know Laurie and I have talked about this on a number of occasions that for me coming into a new faith, it's all brand new. Mm-hmm. And there isn't anything really to tarnish that or to taint mm-hmm. that. And so I see it from the broad perspective. And I also see that if you just believe, you really will get there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. That's a big step right there.
Yeah.
You talked a little bit the other evening about your family does have some problem with this a little bit, of course, you being Jewish.
Yeah.
So you've experienced some of that.
Yeah, there's been some reluctance, some hesitance, some anger mm-hmm. About it. More, I think, from my mother. And she has talked to her mother and everybody else in my family about it. You know, I think it's hard for them. Mm-hmm. They don't really understand. Whether they were really practicing a lot or not doesn't really matter to them. And I don't think that they understand the bottom line is that you have to believe in Jesus. And if you can believe in Jesus, then that is the way. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand that. They don't see that at all.
Well, you might be a real light to them as years go on. So Easter Sunday, Easter Vigil, yeah. You will be, why don't you tell us what's going to happen?
At the Vigil Mass, I will be baptized, confirmed, and receive the Eucharist for the first time.
So. That is so exciting. I get goosebumps whenever mm-hmm. he says that, because I think, well, we were talking about the baptism will just wash away
everything.
All your original sin and all past sin.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go to confession because, it's, you know, that's, I asked you that the other day. Well, what about the sacrament of confession? Well, that's mm-hmm. taken care of.
Yeah.
And to receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist and confirmation.
Yeah, I've been really looking forward to it. Oh. I can't wait.
And I bet Laurie has too.
Oh, it's been a real faith journey for both of us. I mean, it's been neat just from the standpoint of you asked if it had challenged me. And I know that going to the classes with Dan
has made a big difference. Mm. A part of it reinforces that, yes, I did know what I thought I knew. It confirms what I believe, but then it certainly clarifies things that we take for granted, and now it's kind of this culmination, mm-hmm. that we've worked hard for something and it's going to happen.
Well, God bless you both, and I wish I could be there. You'll be in my prayers.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Faith begins to grow after baptism. Are we as parents ready to help build the faith in our children? Are we as Catholics strong enough to help other people in their journey to God? If we aren't ready, shouldn't we be? Thanks for watching, and God bless you and yours.